Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And let me just say, even though there was some negativity in this podcast, overall, I'm loving the game. I'm having so much fun. I cannot wait to reroll and play more. Hello.
Hey, Lokahol, what's going on, dude?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I'm sure you just saw the saga of that T4 map, right?
Monk looking really good.
Dude, okay.
Really good.
Dude, Monk is feeling so much fun, but I did not invest into defenses in my tree early on, and now I feel like I need to invest especially into energy shield itself. Like, I think that's a defensive layer I just screwed up on entirely.
Yeah. No, I don't think you screwed up. I did the exact same thing. During the campaign, it just felt so chill. It was just like, don't get hit, lol. And then you get to the end game, and there's too much happening, and you're like, okay, all right, now I need to invest in my defenses.
That's the thing. So
yeah.
I want to talk about the end game first, man, because I'm guessing you've been in the end game for a bit, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
My initial reactions, I've now played about 30 maps. It feels so much more like Path of Exile 1 as soon as you get to end game. And whether or not you like that or not, it's something that you can't deny. Has that been your experience?
It's been very, very Path of Exile 1. Not as fast and crazy, but like, man, Breach. The moment you open a Breach, it's just like, what is happening? Like, there's too many monsters right now. And if you're not prepared for it, you just get wrecked. So the whole, like, combo-based gameplay with... That seems to kind of fall off a bit from my experience, except when it comes to bossing. Bossing, you still like do the setup and stuff, but I'm playing a grenade mercenary, and there's this item called Radiant Grief that just turns it essentially into a one-button build. And I was like, everyone was like, you need to use this helmet, you need to use this helmet. And I was like, no, I don't want to use it, it's fine. I'm like doing the combo thing they told us to do, and they're like, but it turns it into a one-button build. I'm like, but that's not what we're meant to be doing. And then I bought it, and it felt so good. Felt so good to just use that one button again. And it made me go like, we're back to PoE1 in a lot of ways.
Well, my reaction is, how in the world are you, as a monk, how am I supposed to put up a bell, use charge staff, you know, get a power charge manually, not passively, when a breach opens up in a T2 map, and suddenly... just monsters flying everywhere, and you're encouraged to not stay in one position and fight. You're encouraged to go on the edges, you know, skirt the edges, be blasting down those monsters. But it's a very tricky line to toe, and it's, I don't know, man. How do they do it with the type of ARPG? Like, you, because even rare monster fights, dude, they're not very strategic, right?
I do use more buttons on, like, a really tanky rare, but I know what you mean. It's sort of... makes you wonder, like, is it even a possible thing to have that same, because during the campaign you felt it, right? That combo where you're like, I'm gonna set up my thing and then hit it and then light it on fire and then hit it a bunch of times, and then that feels really cool. In the end game, there's no time for that. So
acts 1 through 3 really felt like that. It started to swap in Cruel, and I didn't know if it was because my build came online and I was just busting stuff up, or if it's because the balance completely shifted. You know, bosses were dying in 5 to 10 seconds. No monster really posed a real challenge to me. And then in endgame, monsters started posing a challenge, but it wasn't necessarily in the, okay, I got to dodge this specific move, I have to move this specific way with WASD and the like. It was back to PoE1, where you are getting one shot regardless. And I know that they said... obviously, I've brought this up multiple times, like in my interview. They want to fix the white and magic monsters one-shotting you. But it doesn't remove that semblance of the gameplay where you are just one-button clicking through monsters like crazy. Now, once they fix that, you just won't be dying, you know, from the random one-shots.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not getting killed by random white or magic monsters.
Are you when smart, though? Are you smart, Local Hole? Like, you actually have defenses, right?
Yeah. I've built my defenses. So the things that do kill me, often I'm like, oh, man, that was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. Like, running under a monster to grab the stuff, the things that are dropped, before waiting to see if there was an on-death effect. But, man, on-death effects, there is that one. The purple flowers. What is up with that? That is just nonsense. Just get it out the game. That sucks. I hate that. But, you know what? In terms of on-death effects, there is actually one monster that I think does it well, and it's that big, chunky guy. That big, chubby dude. And you kill him, he's got like a long charge up. You've got time to like, you can like run at him, realize what's happening, and be like, oh crap, and like back off and roll away. That I think is okay. But the purple flowers, that's rubbish. Like, just actually remove that from the game. It sucks.
Purple flowers are rough, especially because they're not only monster abilities, they're also environmental effects on some of the maps, which I found out. I thought they were just, oh, pretty flowers. I freaking walked on top of one to pick up an exalted orb. And I popped.
That's the worst feeling. You see, you're like two exalts. You're like, no, please.
I lost my first divine orb to an on-death effect.
Oh, no.
I know. Oh, it was rough, dude. But that's something that I'm shocked that they're still this prevalent in the game, especially on rare monsters, given that they have given monsters mechanics. They can kill us with these mechanics, I think. They don't need to rely on this anymore. And I think that might be a remnant of the PoE1 design still lurking into the PoE2 system. And I'm curious if they are going to change up the rare monster modifiers or change up more of these on-death effects to be like the fat dude from, I think it's the Drowned City is what you're talking about. He grows in size, he turns red, and then he pops. Yeah, I think that's great. You know, it's very well told, telegraphed. Just like the improved Detonate Dead from Path of Exile 1, but even more so on a grander scale.
Yeah.
So
that's fine. If you die to that, it's kind of your own fault, right?
Yeah.
That one you feel like, oh, damn it, I shouldn't have done it. But when there's like already delirium and ground effects and like you're using your skills and then you just suddenly explode, like, come on, man. Right. I don't know why they're so set on that. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's just like a remnant of PoE1. Or maybe what happens is it's something that they design out of context where they like test it. It visually looks really good. And then they put it in the game. And in context, when there's all these other things happening, it's terrible. But it isn't obvious. Mm-hmm. I hope that they go back on at least that one. I don't feel like there's that many on-death effects, though. That's the one that I can remember that I think is just like nonsense.
I think that there aren't many different on-death effects, but many of the rare monster modifiers right now are on-death effects or those constantly pulsating effects that do persist after death.
Yeah.
So there's like the fire, lightning, and cold ones that even if you kill the rare, if they're mid-cast, they still continue casting. And it's like, oh my gosh, crazy. And they're pulsating. So it's a better tell than PoE1 almost. Like, because PoE1, it's just a flat circle that spawns, and then you would just time it, right? But in PoE2, it's like a slowly expanding. And sometimes I'm like, nah, I'm totally out of it. Or, you know, oh, it's going to pop before I go. And then somehow it's just a matter of getting used to it. But I think if they diversify that pool a little bit, it won't feel as bad, really. But we'll have to see. Like, no Soul Eater in the game, Local Hole, unless I just haven't encountered it yet. Is there Soul Eater?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I hope it's not there. I know that there is Haste. So Haste can exist. We just don't get it. Well,
I got that out of Quadrilla.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, that is scary.
Oh, very scary, dude. Especially in the endgame when there's like a rare Quadrilla and then all the little mini Quadrillas rushing after you, hasted. Oh, gosh, it's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
In endgame, man. So on death effects aside, how have you felt with the new Atlas system? Like I said, I'm only 30 maps in. I think you're quite a bit farther than I am. Could you give everybody like a rundown of just overview? What do you think about the Waystone experience, the towers, the progression, the losing special encounters on death? Give it to us.
Ooh. All right. Yeah. I'll give you the good stuff first.
Oh yeah.
And I'll sandwich it with good and bad. So I think overall it feels really good. It's very satisfying. I prefer it to the PoE1 progression. That was actually PoE1. I hated completing my atlas. Like, oh, I have to do this map now and do that map, and like, now your friend's messaging you for like Care Blade completion in SSF League, and you like have to stop what you're doing.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So I way prefer just following the lines and like going towards points of interest. I love that. The map layouts are also... they're almost there. I think they're pretty good. There's a lot of like line, like narrow pathways and environmental things that are just annoying, like little pools of water that you can't roll over and stuff, and you're like, why am I not moving? So a few little annoyances like that. The scaling feels mostly a lot better. Like even going into red maps, it didn't feel like I was just getting decimated or feeling like I need to have spell suppression, armor evasion, ailment immunity or ailment avoidance, like crit reduction, CB immunity. You know, there's like a 20-point checklist for PoE1.
Yeah.
This felt like a little bit better, where I was trying to actually diversify my defenses, where I was trying to go like 50-50 armor evasion. And it felt really good up until I got to red maps, and then I started dying. And then I decided, you know what, rather I'm just going to go all in on evasion and spec into acrobatics. And that's felt really good. So it's nice that I can like just fully invest in this. Well, I'm probably gonna, you know, that's not going to be enough for some content, but it was nice that I could just really heavily focus on this one defense. That has to do, that's like more not to do with the Atlas, but more like the scaling.
Yeah.
It feels fun, but there are some things about it that I don't like. Those towers, the first time you find it, it's cool. The second time you find it, it's cool. The 20th time, it's like, all right, I have to run the tower to use the emblem. Those towers, they could be so cool. I think they could be really interesting. If it was just a random point of, not like point of interest, but like something, like put a boss at the end of it or put a breach at the end of it or something. So when you see it, you're like,
yep.
Ooh, cool, a tower. Like, I'm going to go do that. Instead, it's just like the exact same layout. You run it on the lowest tier map you have so you can get through it as quickly as possible. Those totally are... Agree.
I want to talk about those towers a little bit more and then back to the map layout issue. So I did my first tower last night. And I thought it was just going to be you enter it and you use your tablet. I thought it was just, you know, thematic or whatever. And maybe even you can use it on the overland map. You don't even need to travel in. It's not the case. You have to go in and clear the map. I feel like they're falling into the Crucible trap, wherein you have the Forge of the Titans. And it could have been such a freaking cool area. But instead, it's a whole bunch of narrow pathways, basically the same layout every single time. And there's the same exact thing at the end that you're trying to reach. I wish they would follow your advice and give a boss at the end, vary the layout, maybe put in some special encounters. They should be things that you want to find, not just for the reward at the end, wherein you use your tablet, but also to engage with the content meaningfully. Because if they are all the same, like it sounds like they are, 20th tower, 50th tower, 100th tower, that sucks. Go in. You have so many variations that you can throw into these cool encounters. Do it. Go for it, you guys. So,
yep.
Totally agree on that point.
Spot on.
And then the map layout. The map layout points.
Yeah.
I know you said they were almost there. All of them feel like they look beautiful. And a lot of the environments, I'm like, did I even see this in the campaign? I'm sure I did. But man, it's nothing like what I remember. I think what they need to do is they need to steal from PoE1. All the maps shouldn't be circular maze-like. They should have some canyons. they should have some strands. Maybe there are, those are there and I just haven't found them yet. But I've explored, like I said, 30 some maps, and all of them are not like that. They're circular. They're no linear maps. There are some crypts and everything. The tile sets look great, but a lot of it is very samey in the style from which you're running. Is that what you found as well?
Yep. Exactly. But during the campaign, I feel like they nailed it, because it was, some areas were like big and spacious and open, and then the next was like very narrow, like the Dreadnought. Yep. And that changes the combat. I love that. Like, think of D2. You go from like the like Act 2. It's just like an open plain. It's like an open desert. And then you go into the Sand Maggot Lair, and it's suddenly this like narrow, winding pathway. And it completely changes the game. And then into like the Arcane Sanctuary, again, this narrow thing. But it's like this closed, open, changing dynamic arena, almost, if you want to think about it like that. But maps do have the kind of samey winding. None of them really feel that open. There's a few that do, actually. A few that feel open.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, like the majority of them, are like, ah, oh, not this one again. I hate this map. Like Augury, the one with the levers. What the heck? Have you died to a lever yet?
That was my first map, bro.
So horrible.
We called out D4. Calling out GGG and Path of Exile 2. Come on, the levers. What are you doing? I'm also going to say, I hope we get some variations on, you know, how to complete a map, or just, I don't know. Yeah. I feel, okay, special encounters, man. I didn't realize a boss is a special encounter. I didn't realize I lose my boss when I die in the map. So I lost my first two boss maps, and I felt so crushed. Oh, I don't know how I feel about that, because I really want to fight the bosses. And if I do make one mistake, I'm freaking screwed, man. And I haven't been making mistakes as often, because I want to fight those bosses. But still, if they're 1 in 4, man, I wish they would just stay on the map and not count as a special encounter, and they're just a boss map.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a scrub, but that's my viewpoint right now from a casual who's not played a lot of the end game. I've played, I think, like 4 hours or something, 30 maps, and I've only fought four bosses so far. Which makes me sad.
They're not frequent enough, especially during the campaign, man. Every area's got a boss, and you're like,
I like that.
I'm gonna look for it, and it's so exciting. But yeah, it's not 1 in 4. I don't think it's 1 in 4 maps that have a boss. It feels way less frequent. And the thing is that during the campaign, I really spec'd heavily into single target and bossing stuff. And then I get to the mapping, and there's like no bosses. Yeah, they were like, I don't know how many maps it took me to find a boss, but it's really exciting when you do find it, but they're so infrequent. It would be cool if maybe, like, put a boss in every map or every second map, but then you could, you know, if you are a bosser, you can complete the map by killing the boss or by killing, you know, 90% of the rares or something like that. So you don't have to do the boss if you don't want to. And if you are more boss focused, you don't have to go and clear the full map. So, yeah, you know, like overall, it feels like the foundation is there for most of it. It's just like tweaking stuff or changing things. Do a little bit of this, do a little bit of that, take this out, put that in. It's not like fundamentally the game is broken. And that's why I'm not like too stressed about it.
Thank you, Localhole, for the title of the YouTube video. I really thank you for that. You know, fundamentally what the game is broken. Fundamentally the game is broken. It's gonna be great. Just kidding.
It's not broken.
No. But I, as someone who, you know, played the campaign, and I took a really long time, 31 hours. I love the campaign. I was like, oh, the game is so good. The game is great. I see very few issues. I stand by. I flip flopped a little bit. I thought currency should be buffed. Great, they did it. I agree with that. I was also on the buff loot train. I am now against it. Come at me, guys. I think loot was better the way it was before. I know I'm gonna receive hate from that. Same with dodge roll. I think they acted too fast on the dodge roll thing too. I know. And getting trapped in, I don't think it happens as much anymore, at least in where I am in the game. But now that I reached the end game, where many people who were giving a lot of feedback were on day two, wherein I was in act two on day two, I understand a lot of the fundamental critiques, though, and it makes sense. because this is the thing that they've had not cooking for 5 years. It's the thing they've had cooking probably on a very low heat for 5 years. And then in the past 4 months, they cranked up that heat and they have been focusing head first in it, but it's also not received nearly as much testing as the rest of the game. So
you can tell, right?
You can tell as soon as you get into it. So everybody, get your feedback in about the end game, please. I'm throwing my hat into the ring probably later today or tomorrow. Even being in T4 maps, T5 maps, I can notice things that need improvements. So I think this is the one thing that we can really help fix or improve massively with PoE2 that needs fixing, in my perspective.
Yeah, I would at this point almost prefer like a hell mode instead of endgame. Not that I am enjoying the endgame, but I feel like I had way more fun during the campaign. Just the pacing and the area layouts and the bosses and everything. So yeah, it'll get there, but like you said, you can tell that it is, I don't know, like a year behind all the content, like the campaign content.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take time, especially like the balancing with crafting and stuff. I know we're getting, you definitely get way more currency in the end game.
Oh yeah,
but
I'm feeling that.
Yeah, you're feeling that, but still the crafting feels so weird, man. There's something, there's something missing. There is, there's like a fundamental puzzle piece that has been left out. And I don't know if it's alterations or scours. And I don't know if putting that back in the game is a problem or would make it better.
Because,
yeah, I mean, how much crafting have you done? Is it just kind of like, ooh, a base, transmute?
Yeah, Palstron put it the best
Regal,
way.
Sell
it. Palstron put it the best way. I haven't heard anybody else say this. I don't know if he came up with it or if it's a meme somewhere, but I have been crafting, identifying with extra steps, right? So I start with a magic item or a white item, and I have been getting lucky with my slams. I have an incredible stat, a great ring, and it feels really good to me, once again, as someone who is not truly engaged in crafting in PoE1 besides spamming alterations and then trying to deterministically get, you know, fizz mods on an axe or a sword or whatever in endgame the past few leagues. I'm a base person who completes all 40 challenges with gear I've picked up off the ground. Okay, so that's me. So I'm a very different perspective from a lot of these people who have been in the weeds, crafting away, making mirror tier items, right? So I've been okay with what I'm seeing so far. But I do understand the perspective that something is missing. You know, from my perspective, I do think something is missing on my end. That's very basic. And it is runes in the crafting bench. Mm-hmm. I think that they have fallen into the trap that they tried to remove with putting sockets for gems and gear with runes for someone like myself or my dad, who spends a shitload of time getting artificer's orbs, putting them into a piece of armor, and putting the runes in the armor. And then 2 areas later, he finds a way better piece of armor, but he's like, I have no artificer's orbs. This is like all of my cold resistance right now, and I'm going into the Act 1 boss fight. I can't swap this out. It's that, I get that there's that friction there, but I feel like it's the same friction that they were trying to remove with the gem system. So I think the crafting bench would be so much more superior, because if it is just supposed to be that replacement where it's like, okay, I need this extra bit of cold resistance. Hey, here's not a lot of friction. This is really helping out new players. This is helping get that one this one missing piece of your build. Let's put that in the game. That's gone now. And that friction is back in with the Artificer's Orbs. Is that something you've encountered, or is that like a low level casual player problem?
No, that's 100% the same experience. Like, I've found or crafted something. Well, crafted as in I got lucky with some Exalt Slams. And put it on, I'm really excited, and I'm like, oh, wait, I can't actually use this, because now I've got, like, 200 fire res and 20 cold res, and I can't, like, remove the runes or use the crafting bench to balance it. Man, maybe you're right, maybe it's the crafting bench. That is one missing piece. And maybe there are multiple missing pieces that are making it feel less engaging. Because the thing now what was really fun in PoE1 with crafting was that you could amass currency and be like, okay, I'm going to sit down for the next half hour and make this item, or like as close as possible. Whereas now it's this weird, just like transient process where you just go like, oh, I got a base, or I identified it. It has maybe one good mod. I'm going to regal it. Oh, it's bad. Okay, never mind. And then you're just done. Like, that's the whole process. There are things in the end game you can do.
I was going to ask about those. And if you've engaged with them, like the essences and the ritual, I can't even remember what they're called, the ritual things that deterministically say, you know, add this particular thing when you use an exalted orb. Are those common enough to engage with?
I'm in tier 14s. I haven't found a single greater essence. And I have found one omen. And it was like, when you ulk an item, it will have three suffixes. That is the only omen I have found. That's it. One. In like... So I think if they're going to get rid of the crafting bench, make omens more common. But the other thing that was very interesting about the crafting bench was blocking mods before slamming. I know people who don't understand it hate it, but when you do understand it, it's fascinating. Understanding like weights and odds and, you know, like optimizing the process of crafting, but also having simpler methods like essencing, man. Just like PoE1 essences, reforge an item with this one modifier and the rest is random. And sure, that can lead to some spam, but early on, it actually can feel really good where you just find like one nice essence, hit the item, bench on attack speed, there's your upgrade.
Yeah, the more I think about it, even for early advanced crafting and beginners, the removal of the crafting bench has really hurt me.
It's huge.
Okay, and when they pitched it, now that I'm thinking back, runes were pitched as the solution. And it sounds like, you know, closed beta testers saw it as that solution. Like, oh, this makes sense. This is good. I'm wondering if there was a shift between closed beta and now in the amount of like runes or socketed items that are dropping, or how you insert sockets into items, or if you could override them in closed beta. We'll obviously never know unless Jonathan or Mark or someone else says that. But if I got to talk to them again, after early access now, I think the crafting bench change and the fact that it was changed so in such a little amount of time ago, like a month or two before early access started, I think that has affected the balance and flow of the game quite a bit, especially in endgame and swapping gear around.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Just like the crafting bench was brilliant because it served so many different purposes early on. It allowed you to round out your defenses in a much more flexible way. Late game, it allowed you massive control over the items you wanted to create. And small things like prefixes cannot be changed. That is such a... Man, when that came out, I don't think anyone realized how powerful it was, and then people figured it out over time. But that was genius. The crafting bench in PoE1, prefixes cannot be changed, suffixes cannot be changed, and then learning to manipulate that and use tricks to your advantage. And I've had so many conversations with people who are better crafters. When someone asks me, how do I make this item? And I'm like, I would probably do it like this, but there might be a better way. And then you chat to someone who's more experienced, and they will like come up with this elaborate process that is just, man, it's exciting when you read it because you're like, oh wow, I didn't think of that, and now I can use those techniques to other crafts. And I think one of the most interesting ones was like a shockwave totem cold shield, and there was like a very, very smart way to force +1 totems, +1 physical gems, and like life. Very elaborate process. And again, people who don't get it or feel like, oh, it's too complicated, I get it. But once you do get it, it's so cool that it's there in the game. There is that system to engage with. And if you aren't unable to understand it yet, you can still use a crafting bench for like really basic stuff.
That's me. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yep. So you can use your essence Essence, Benchcraft, block a mod, slam it, and then Benchcraft another mod you want. Like, that's that's low-level crafting. And I miss it. I miss it. And I think, you know what? I think even if there aren't scours, maybe not. Even if there aren't scours, you could still do a lot more if there was a crafting bench.
Oh, yeah. I think you could. If they added the simple stuff, like you said, they kind of replaced what omens do. Just the simple prefixes cannot be added. Suffixes cannot be changed. All those base modifiers, which it sounds like are locked in some ways behind omens, and in some ways they're just gone from the game. I think that would open up the crafting levels quite a bit.
Yeah.
Just with the base currency we have in the game. And we know that they've said they're going to introduce more crafting methods with the old leagues coming from PoE 1, and then, of course, new leagues in PoE 2. But even this, I'd argue that the crafting bench should be a baseline, and they should find a way to fit it into the game. It sounded like the reason it's not in the game is because they just couldn't find a way to explain it well to players, and adding all these extra layers of complexity, like with all the different item sorts and like almost like a grave crafting setup from Necropolis. I think in PoE 1, it was good. I think with a little bit of extra tooltip, you're good. You can explain it. The tooltips in PoE 2 right now, great. With those definitions and glossary system.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
On the crafting bench, oh, I think new players will absorb that much faster than this really micromanage-y rune system, where it really prevents you from wanting to pick up a new thing because, okay, one, I need the runes, two, I need the sockets, three, oh my god, I need to do this all over again if I find a better piece my next map, and it does get tedious. So
And it's not even just like, oh, I found a new piece of gear, now I have to change three other pieces of gear, when that could be solved by just delete rune, put in new one. I mean, Diablo 2 had that, man. Like, you could delete runes from sockets in Diablo 2.
Yep.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's something they change, where here's a new crafting currency, or you can talk to, what's his name, the Hooded One, and he'll be like, for 5,000 gold, I will delete the runes in your sockets. But you're right, man. You made me miss the crafting bench now.
I'm sorry.
And I didn't even know I was missing it until now.
Well, I dealt with this last night. It was late at night. I think it was 11:30 p.m. And I found this new awesome piece of gear. And I've someone in the chat I saw said, well, just pick up the socketed items and artificer's bench them. I am, bro. I even went back into all the vendors, Act 1 through 3 regular, Act 1 through 3 cruel, bought all the items, which you can do. They refresh all the socketed items and salvage them for the artificer's orbs. I did that. And I still didn't have the two orbs I needed to swap to this new gear. And I need those resistances in the end game. So I was like, oh my gosh, dang it. So I ran some campaign maps to get the gear and everything, to get the artificer's orbs. I did that. But I was thinking last night, man, if I just had the crafting bench, I could have just equipped this new gear, which is what I really want to do and what they said I should be able to do, and just start running again. But instead, I had this whole like convoluted. It's not that convoluted. It's just tedious. It's not
yeah,
hard.
Exactly. It feels like a chore. It's like,
right.
Like, I shouldn't have to be having to do this right now, but I do have to
basic
do it right now.
As finding a new, cool, rare piece and just wanting to equip it. I do agree there should be some tedium or complexity to making some badass piece of armor or weapon, but that's not what it was. It was, I found a cool tier 2 item drop, and I really wanted to wear it, but I felt like I couldn't.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, man, I love the feeling in PoE 1 of finding an upgrade and having to shuffle stuff around to make it work, but all the tools are there. Like, I just need a little bit more dex. Hold on. Then, like, you start doing the like red lines with the pins on the board, and you're like, oh wait, I can put cold res here, get this there, put dex there. Okay, now it all works. That's a really satisfying process. Whereas, you know what's so sad is that I really, in PoE 1, I really avoid using the trade site as much as possible, and I hate having to go to the trade site to get upgrades. PoE 2, the more I get into the end game, the more I'm relying on the trade site, because I'm
really
just like, I just like, there is no solution to this problem that I have. There's nothing I can do. So other than go to the trade site or just not use this upgrade that I found. And that feeling like, well, the easiest thing to do is just buy it, I guess. That's what I did last night. I was like, I need Chaos Rifts.
Man. I haven't even touched the trade site yet. I haven't engaged yet.
You'll hit it because you'll start dying to chaos damage, and then you'll be like,
Stop it, man.
I would love an amethyst ring and like a chaos essence. All right, no amethyst rings are dropping. No chaos essences are dropping. So now I just need to pick up random rings and transmute aug them and hope that I get chaos res. Like, how long is that going to take? And eventually, well, I've got 50x sitting in my stash. I'm just going to see what's on the trade site. Oh, okay, problem solved in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you could have been like, oh, I'm going to find an amethyst ring. I'm going to hit it with an essence, and then I'm going to bench on a little bit of chaos res. Now I have enough to like keep going, and you feel self-sufficient rather than like backed into a corner of...
It's unfinished. The end game is unfinished, and it's so clear. Yeah, it is.
It is. But again, I don't have any doubts that they will get there. I just hope that they aren't... that they're not like too uptight about bringing things back that did work.
Right.
Things that did work. Like the crafting bench worked, man. The crafting bench was genius. Brilliant.
Glad that I got you on my side with that. Heck yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is the start of the revolution for the crafting bench. It began here, local hole. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Hashtag bring back the crafting bench. We can start it.
Yes.
Get it trending. Elon Musk can retweet it. I know you're a big fan. Big fan. Yeah. No. Okay.
So weird.
Okay. let's cut from that conversation and directly into something else from PoE1 that I feel like I now need to use in PoE2. It's not the trade site, local hole.
Uh-huh.
It's NeverSync's loot filter. Dang it, local hole. I thought I'd escaped it. I was feeling good. I was like, okay, I can live with the vision. I don't need the tings even. I can deal with all this loot on my screen. It's not that much, but I'm in endgame now. And ever since that loot buff patch, dude, initially I was like, yeah, this feels good. It's more loot on the ground. And then I played another hour. And then 10 more hours and 15 more hours. And then I did an expedition in a T2 map.
Yep.
One, why am I not auto picking up the expedition currency, the artifacts that I used to gamble? I don't know how to use them yet. I don't know if it's a different system, but I noticed that they don't auto pick up anymore. Dang it. Mm-hmm. Two, my entire screen was covered in loot in a T2 expedition. So, pro or against? The more loot in the game now. And are you using a loot filter at this point?
I'm using a loot highlighter. I'm not using a loot filter, but I kind of feel like I need a filter at this point already. So...
Me too.
Well,
you haven't swapped to one and you're in red waystones? So maybe this is a one-off experience. Is it not that bad? Am I like being a little bit too uptight here?
If you do a breach, you're going to get like 5 bajillion items. You have to press Z to hide loot while you're in a breach, right? And then when you're done with the breach, you're gonna have like 6 white items in your inventory because you've been clicking on them. But like, just for normal mapping, I haven't felt like I desperately need one.
It's the encounters.
It's the encounters that really spit out loot, and it feels pretty good. But yeah, a loot filter would be good. As for expedition, why do you have to pick up those things? It's because, like, only 4 drop per expedition. And you'll see how to use them. Trust me, like, each one is much more impactful than it was in PoE 1.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I can spoil it for you, but I'll rather... I mean,
I'll find out. I'll find out. Because
you'll
I tried to talk to Gwennon, and I was like, you're talking about gambling, Gwennon, but I don't see any option here. What's going on, girl?
Don't make the mistake I did. Click one of our items, okay? Just click one of our items and it'll all make sense.
Oh my god, dude. Okay, it's in my stash right now. Okay, I'll do it.
Don't re-roll. Because when I first found her, I was like, oh, these items all suck. Re-roll. These items all suck. Oh, that one looks kind of cool, but it's... never mind. Re-roll. And then I clicked one and realized what the system is. And it's very cool, but... Okay. It also needs some work.
Okay. Interesting.
You will know exactly what it is the second you click it.
Okay. Ooh, and then you will be after like this, dude, after this pod, yep. I'm going in, I'm clicking on it, I'm seeing what's going on.
Click it. Click it. Yep. But then you will, when you engage with it, you're gonna be like, I can't engage with this. And also, why is it over so soon?
Jesus, now, what's going on? Okay.
Yeah, now I know. Now you're intrigued.
I am.
Yeah, okay. I'll be like, just one more. Come on.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to try to use a loot highlighter then and maybe refrain from filtering out loot.
Yeah.
Especially if it's okay, except in those big encounters. I'm kind of curious. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Grinding Gear Games refuses to do a basic loot highlighter in their game or an option, kind of like Last Heatbox does? And I'm not talking about a rebalance every single league or anything, but right now they highlight things like unique items and that special orange text. Talking about like things that they know are very important to players and yeah. they don't highlight them, like exalts, like divine orbs, like a mirror of Calandra. I think that there should be a confetti burst on screen when a mirror drops. Yeah. I think that'd be great.
Congratulations, you won the game.
Yeah, right? I've only really started thinking about it in PoE2, especially given they've dropped the immense number of loot that is on the screen. Why do you think that they might not be implementing that, aside from the fact they'd have to potentially rebalance it every league?
Maybe that's part of it. I have not thought about this at all. I think...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Maybe just like having a beam for valuable currency, like they do with uniques would be cool. But I'm so used to using loot filters that it kind of just doesn't bug me. I'm just like, Neversync will do it, and then I will download his filter.
Right, so, right. Someone in the chat is saying it's because they don't want to tell players what is good.
Exactly. Yeah.
I get that. I definitely do. I'm a casual. I'm looking at new players and the like who aren't ever going to engage with economy. My dad. Yeah. Sorry, guys. Bringing up my dad again because he is the epitome of casual gamer. He has stored every exalted and orb he has found in his stash and not used. I saw it and I was like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, well, you know, I don't really know if they're good or not. I just want to like save them. I don't know if they're rare or if they're common, and like I'm getting some, but I'm not. I don't know if I should. And even that little nudge, I feel like would help. But even then, it's just a beam. What's the beam going to do? The player needs to understand what the currency does in the game. And that's why I go back to what I talked about with, I think, Lighty, or was it Pal? A crafting quest, I think, should be in Act 1. To help, like giving players one of each orb and saying, okay, you have to use this on a white item, and then you have to use this on a magic item, and you will see here's what an affix is, here's a suffix, here's a prefix, and it showcases this system to them. Because in something like where my dad's coming from, which is Diablo 4, he just looks at the green number next to items in D4, and he's like, the green number is going way up, I'm equipping that item, right? And that's how a lot of players think at a surface level until they start to understand the mechanics and systems of the game. It's all a slow process in learning, and I think that would help inch players along that process in the long run.
I think that's a cool idea. Or have like a guaranteed currency drop. I thought there were some guaranteed currency drops during the campaign. But yeah, maybe a crafting quest, like, hey, go kill this, I don't know, treasure goblin, and he will drop you one of each of these items, and then I'm gonna make you use it.
Yeah,
I think that's cool.
Yeah, you gotta force people to do it. The analogy I started using is your first D&D session versus your second. A lot of people have a very on the rails Dungeons and Dragons session to start. Okay, the blacksmith's son has been kidnapped. You need to go save her. Kill goblins, save blacksmith's son. You're good. And then session two, you just say, all right, you're in the town, there's all these different quests you can go on, it's just a sandbox, you're free to go. And after that first time, that first exposure to Dungeons & Dragons, a lot of players' minds just expand, and then they think about all the possibilities, and they're so much more active in their decision-making. And I think with crafting, it's that exact same thing. If you get a taste, players are going to be like, oh, I like that, I understand it, I'm going to engage with it. So I think that's all they need, just a little bit of exposure.
And also, in terms of rarity, that's another thing. I remember playing Last Epoch and finding stuff and being like, is this rare? Like, am I allowed to use this? Or am I going to regret it? Is this, like, the mirror in this game?
Right.
And you kind of just, like, get I'll use it. It's fine. But you're always, you got that thing in your head, like, I don't know how rare this is. And some people might just end up hoarding, like you said. Yeah. So, but having certain loots, exalted orbs, just like maybe the text a bit bigger or like a beam. But then that might also lead people to be like, ooh, this is really fancy. I mustn't use it. It's very valuable.
It's not so tricky, dude.
I don't think it's that big a problem, really. They just need to work on balance and stuff, mm-hmm. which, I mean, is what they've kind of been doing. What's your thoughts on their approach to nerfs?
Oh, you stole my segue, you butt.
I did?
Okay. And I was going to say, speaking of balance. Yeah, it's too late. Of balance, you stole it. So right, balancing.
Yeah.
And the respecs. So I've heard lots of conflicting opinions from numerous people. I have some people who are close to me and have played some of those builds that tell me, yeah, they were nerfed, but it deserved the nerf. Okay? Mm-hmm. It was busted. It was PoE 1 levels of spam, and it was little investment. I could swap around my build pretty easily. And then I see other people on, you know, like Twitter. That's the one place I've been paying attention to a lot of the discourse and stuff, because I'm not watching a lot of build videos. Actually, zero build videos. And people are heated beyond belief. If I'm just looking at like Twitter and a lot of content creator reactions, this is the apocalypse of like the cock build with comets, the cast on freeze or cast on crit, whatever. It was all over. They could never play their characters again. It would not kill anything. Da 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 da. But then I'm also hearing, yeah, it still deletes like bosses, but it can't clear packs anymore, so you have to rely on something else. And so I'm like, I don't know who to believe. So local hole, I trust you, okay, to give me the straight juice. What is actually going on with these nerfs? Are they as apocalyptic as people are making them out, or are they not effective? Or is there a middle ground? What's going on? I do think there should be respects.
Yeah.
But
yeah, 100%.
Take the floor.
I haven't played any build that has been nerfed to the ground to becoming unplayable. They nerfed gas grenade. That was way too powerful. Like, it actually made it less fun because of how much damage it was doing. I was missing out on boss fights because you kill in like 3 seconds. They nerfed it, and it now feels like, okay, cool, this is in the right spot. But that was a numerical nerf for the most part. For the most part, there was like stuff to do with firewall. As for cost on whatever, I'm a little bit hesitant to say that, like, give you an opinion, because I didn't play it, and people who did play it obviously had very strong feelings. I saw clips that were just stupid. That were this obviously is way out of line. Like 7 trillion projectiles, 0 FPS gaming. Obviously, that needs to be reined in. And then I saw clips of people like showing the before and after, and the after was, you could see this is just unplayable. But then I saw another clip of someone like playing it after the nerf, and they were like, oh, this is so bad. And I'm like, that looks fine. Like, it didn't look that bad. So I'm in the same boat where I'm like, I don't know. But I think the problem is the approach to it, not giving players enough heads up to say, hey, you know, in 24 hours, we're going to be making these changes to these skills. We will give you a free respec. Don't worry about it. You'll get your free respec. Or I've been talking to Guitaraholic about it. He had a good idea about having like the pace, or what's the word? I don't want to say cadence, but like have a set schedule for certain nerfs so they don't just come out of the blue and brick people's setups in between maps. That sucks. I get that sucks. If they did that to my build, I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
So
it's a consequence of the Path of Exile community as well, because if one broken build comes out, everybody is instantly going to leap on that or try to leap on it. And you know, the longer Grinding Gear Games goes without addressing it, the more accepted it is that this is a thing, and then more and more people will hop on board, and then when it is eventually nerfed, people are going to be pissed. And I know I agree with the communication and giving a heads up or maybe putting out a schedule, but how many of us are actually online and reading those updates from Grinding Gear Games? It's probably very few compared to the number of people who would jump on the cock train and make Comet build or make the gas grenade build, right? And then because if they see it live for many days or, you know, even hours, and they jump on board, and then they get in game, and it's completely busted. It feels bad. Do they give a free respec? Do they give like more like easier ways to respec? Do they cut the cost? There's so many different things to balance, and I think that's why they're taking so long to address it, or they just might not end up addressing it at all. Because they don't want to set the expectation that you're going to get free resets constantly if one build is busted. If they make a change that affects many builds, free respec. But if it's one build,
yeah,
you're SOL, right?
Yeah. Well, look, there's a few ways they could do it. Firstly, yeah, if you do have it on a schedule, then you could say, like, every Monday we are doing a major balance pass. That way that even if you're not keeping up with the news, you're more easily able to know, like, okay, Monday is the day they change stuff. So it's actually way easier to follow that way. Also, you could have it that you, when you open the game and there has been that big balance pass, it pops up like before you log in, here are the changes, right? And it's just like patch notes in game before you log in. You can click through and be like, whatever, I don't care. Or you can, you know, it's in your face. You cannot miss it. And if you skip it, well, you know. But the other problem with keeping it on a strict schedule is, if you say we're going to be doing major updates once a week is a long time to have a completely broken thing in the game. People can, like, destroy the economy, destroy the end game, like, chain farm, beat all the pinnacle bosses, or get people into a headspace where they're like, oh, this level of power is acceptable. I'm going to play this for a week. And then it gets nerfed, and then they go back to what is considered acceptable. And now they are just like permanently disappointed because they've been playing with something broken for a week. So
here's the thing. I think you're totally right in your feedback. The problem is they have a game that is launched as if it is though it's a full launch, because a lot of it is, it plays very well, right? A lot of it does seem like a full release, but it's not. It's a half fit, or it's an unfinished game that is an early access that is meant to be a beta, but a lot of people see it as like, oh yeah, you know, if I build something, I should be able to keep it, right? No. And they need to find a way to really set those expectations. And maybe it is a weekly cadence balance patch like that, where they are going to go in, they're going to address a lot of the broken builds and maybe give a reset and then say something like, all right, go again. It's your quest. Find the next broken build, because once early access ends, this isn't acceptable in Path of Exile, in my view. I think that they usually, when they launch a league, they don't fix broken builds unless it's breaking servers.
Exactly.
Right. So once PUE2 goes into 1.0, this can't happen anymore, and they need to make sure players understand that. I think a lot of players will see that they're nerfing busted builds week after week, day after day, and thinking, wow, PoE isn't the type of game that accepts that anymore. I don't think that's necessarily true, but I do not fault people for thinking like that at all, given what's happening now, right?
Yeah. No, but it is a week into early access.
Well, it's been like a month, what are you talking about? It's been like a month? Like months, well, years, you know, like what does Lachlan say? How long has it been?
How long? No, I'm wondering, like, if they did overnight delete my build, would I be super bummed? I would probably just re-roll and be like, okay,
me too,
go next. But
me too.
But a lot of people, like, they don't do that in PoE 1 because the foundation has been set and the expectations have been set. It has happened like a couple of times where they do the mid-league nerf. So maybe we. Maybe it's the style of nerf, where I feel like the poison grenade, the gas grenade, that was a good nerf. That was a numerical nerf. It brought it back in line and it felt like, okay, cool. Whereas I think really just gutting the functionality of a certain mechanic, that feels bad. Like, Path of Exile is about finding clever tricks and you know, breaking the game. And then we've got really smart people who do that, and they find these cool interactions that are really, really creative and interesting, and that's what makes builds in Path of Exile so good. And then instead of adjusting it numerically to bring it in line, but keeping the mechanic there. So it's like, you have been rewarded for being smart. Good job. Here's your cool build. They just like delete it. Okay, now it is non-functional. You're not allowed to do this in the game. So I think that's the frustrating part. If they had taken like cast and freeze or whatever and made it so it's like, okay, look, we're going to have it. I don't know how they would do it. I'm not a game designer.
Right.
We're going to have it so it doesn't trigger so much that the servers crash, but it's still going to be able to like kill stuff as quickly, or, you know, 75% as quickly. Instead, it was like, just like, it doesn't work properly anymore. From what I know, Arrow was doing cast and freeze. He just woke up re-rolled. Like, he was like, he tested and his build was just dead. That sucks. That it sucks. But I get that it's early access. They are going to do that, but there's like maybe a good way to do it and then a bad way to do it. You don't have to delete a mechanic that is seemingly the way that it would work, like cast and freeze. Okay, I'm going to try freeze stuff as much as possible to cast stuff. And then you do that, and they're like, no, you're not allowed to do that. And you're like, but it's like you put the gem in the game. Why not?
Yeah, it's really tricky from their end, and I know they are trying to do their best because they know players want to find these ridiculous interactions. I think this first week, and maybe next week as well, we're going to see the highest number of broken interactions in the game, the most egregious ones. And then from then on out, I think that the nerfs will be less heavy-handed and less common. That's just a theory. But I think everything that stood out has stood out to the smartest among us. And it's been showcased, it's been abused, and Grinding Gear Games has addressed it. We're now at, you know, I think today is day 8 or day 9, whatever. I can't do math. Of every single day breaking 500,000 concurrents on Steam alone. They have so much freaking data. They have so much information, so many different accounts from many different players, including the most intelligent build crafters out there. I think they are going to be able to make well-informed decisions here. And I would recommend that they take a little bit more time to make those decisions, honestly, because once they make them, it's very hard to go back, right? Yeah. The dodge roll thing is a great example. And I know that I'm in the minority here. They can never change it back to the way it was. It always needs to be size zero now. It always needs to be able to push tiny creatures out of the way. They have to change game mechanics around it because so many people loved it. And it fundamentally changed the way the game is played. You know, bone wall right now, you can dodge right through bone wall.
Yeah.
They're going to need to change that, right? But they can't change it back to, you know, 0.5 or size one. You're going to have to be able to dodge out of those little areas now. I wish they would have taken a little bit more time to think about the repercussions if they were really going for that gritty surrounding experience where, you know, masochists like me, I guess, love that. And you got to fight your way out or find a different way to survive or be more tactical, right? But that's not going to happen. So any other heavy-handed changes, I pray that they do take time to really consider everything, you know, and they don't just make the shift like that, even with balance.
Yeah, they should, man. You know what they need to do? They need to get Jung on a test server. And just be like, employ him full time to break the game before I figure out stuff and be like, okay, like we're gonna pay you a salary to play Path of Exile on a special server and like figure this stuff out, break the game, help us to make it so it's not crazy, and then we'll fix it before anyone else figures it out.
Hey, I know that some content creators have been asked to be on those alphas, but a lot of them are like, nah, I want to make content. I wonder who's been offered.
Dude, I mean, if you're streaming a broken build to that's views, man. People want to see it, especially when you get angry when they take it out the game. There were some good clips that came out of it, man. There was like a...
There were?
It was bordering... We nearly had a Path of Math... relapse.
Oh no, not already. Not a weekend.
No. It didn't get that close, but you were watching some of the clips, you're like, oh man, like stop.
Definitely. Okay,
like writing that line.
Jeez. Also, to correct myself, I guess during the week the peaks were 450,000 on Steam. just today and yesterday, they broke 500,000. I'm sorry. Saturday, Sunday gamers, thank you for rising up. But I don't want to put that misinfo up there. Okay. Man, yeah. we have been talking for a freaking hour, and I have gotten through two of the topics I wanted.
Oh,
this
no.
is the first time. We've just been yapping, dude. What the heck? Jesus. I do want to talk about a few more things with you, though, man.
Okay.
If that's okay. Are you good to go
Let's
a little bit
it.
Longer?
Yeah.
Okay,
Let's
awesome.
Go.
I just want to respect your time, because I know there's some PoE 2 to be played.
So. I mean, I'm a full-time PoE creator now. My time
There you
is...
go, there you go. You can spare some time for the pod. Okay, the two topics I still wanted to talk about. We're not getting away from the controversy. Ascension, and then I wanted to talk about Mobalytics and guides a little bit. So let's end on the Mobalytics part. Ascension right now. Okay. There's two Ascension trials in the game presently.
Mm-hmm.
Trial of Sekhma, Trial of Chaos. Lots of debate about both, okay? I think the debate about the Trial of Chaos is more warranted, and the RNG-based design with those modifiers that can just brick your run if you can't choose a good one. And then the Trial of Sekhma, it's just a completely different game inside Path of Exile, and you have to treat it as such. And if you don't, you will lose. And if you do, there's a pretty good chance you're going to win. So, between those two trials, which one would you like to talk about first?
Sekhma, I guess.
Sekhma? Okay.
Yeah.
So you were a Merc, right? How did the trial of Sekhma go for you, the first run through?
The first one was fine. Yeah. Like, easy. Easy mode. It was totally, totally fine. But I could see all the problems with it. It's like, if you get a bad room or a bad affliction, this could break your run. That sucks. And then I've tried the third ascendancy for Sekhma a couple of times, and just like something stupid kills me. Just I wonder about the honor system for ascending. Maybe get rid of that, okay? And then have a end game trial system that is Sanctum with the honor system, but get rid of it for the ascension.
What's nabbing you with the honor? Is it monsters or traps?
It feels like, it's like traps. Traps. Oh, the stupid spiral fireballs. I'm too dumb for that, man. I can't get around it. But I don't hate it. That's the thing. But at the same time, I think part of the reason I'm not like too invested in it currently is more to do with the fact that my ascendancy feels super weird. It's not like Path of Exile 1 where you feel like, oh, there's this huge power spike. I need to do this so I can get that additional projectile or that like 50% more damage. I'm playing Mercenary, and I don't know what to take because I've got two things now, and just like nothing is that appealing.
Wait, are
really.
You Gemling or Witch Hunter?
No,
sorry, you didn't say
Witch Hunter.
Witch Hunter,
yeah.
Okay, got it.
And like nothing is that appealing to me, really. So I'm not really doing it. I'm like level 85. I've tried the third trial a couple of times, and I'm just like, I don't know. If I do the third one, then I get this thing that's maybe a little bit useful, or I could do that thing, and I don't really see the benefit of it. So, like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to wait till I'm, like, level 90 and then just hopefully blast through it.
All right, you are shocking me right now. I still don't know all the nodes on the Witch Hunter, because I haven't looked at any of the ascendancies besides Invoker and the Chaos Monk, the Chonk. But the nodes I do know from the Witch Hunter were freaking insane when I first saw them. Why are these not exciting you? Are the others just not as good? Like, I remember the Culling Strike node. There's the deal between 1 and 30% of max health node. There's the Corpse Explosion node. Are the others just not good? Or I'm curious.
I think maybe, look, the concentration thing, maybe I need to... So the concentration is obviously more focused around bossing, right? And then the follow-up of, like, dealing 30% more damage based on missing concentration. If there were more bosses, if I was doing a boss every single map, okay, cool. That seems nice. But at the same time, I'm killing bosses so quickly that I'm like, I don't really need this. And then the Culling Strike, I am taking that. Decimating Strike, same thing, kind of, where it's like, deal 5 to 30% damage of their health pool. I'm killing them quickly enough that it's not exciting. If one of the nodes was like plus 3 grenades, I would be so on that. I would be like rushing to do my third ascendancy, or like grenades have a 50% chance to explode a second time. I'm there, like I'm doing that. But there's these weird things, like with these, man, the sorcery ward. That's another one. I tested it. It basically converts your evasion and armor into a elemental aegis. So like you're converting your fizz mitigation into elemental mitigation. I tested that. It felt horrible. It felt so bad because it has a downside of 50% less armor and evasion. And has a recharge time of like 9 seconds. So, dude, for my ascendancy, you want to cut out half my armor and evasion? That's not exciting. That sucks, man. If that was like, you have an elemental aegis that is equivalent to 50% of your armor and evasion, and it also blocks chaos damage, now I'm excited. That is exciting. That's cool. I want to go for that. But there's just so many things, so many points on the, also on the passive tree that I'm feeling. I'm not like, oh man, I need to go there to get that thing. That's so exciting. And for my ascendancy, it's also just like, decimating strike. Is this useful? Not really. Sorcery ward, I can probably make it work, but I can't use it with acrobatics because then I'm losing 50% evasion. Yeah. And then I'm losing 70% evasion. I'm going to have like 3 evasion. That sucks. Like, why is there this heavy downside? The concentration thing, there's not enough bosses for me to feel like it's worth taking it. And then there's like the 20 weapons at skill points. And sure, that could work, but I'm playing a one button build and it doesn't come with 20 respec points. So if I do take that, I now need a respec 44 points. How much is that going to cost me? So just none of it is interesting.
Wow, this is not the road I expected to be going down when talking about the trial balance. But
yeah,
hearing your thoughts on like the Witch Hunter, you know, I'm in my little bubble of monk and I feel excited about everything. But hearing, especially, I've heard about the Blood Witch or the Blood Mage and how that's still broken. Yeah. And I know Arrow has had some unfortunate scenarios and circumstances with his Blood Witch. So, oh, poor Arrow. Yeah. But just hearing that the ascendancy now that you're in game and playing the game and seeing how many bosses you find and how quick monsters die and the fact that you're using a one button build, that it's not exciting to you.
Yeah.
More great feedback for grinding your games, because obviously,
please,
ascendancy should be your freaking
golden
mine
so
for ideas.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Like, keep it simple and exciting. I am playing grenades. Why are there no grenade things on my Witch Hunter? Just make it shoot fucking 5 times as many grenades and make them explode twice as much, and I'm happy. But instead, it's like, you lose half your HP, but sometimes you take half as much elemental damage. Like, wow, cool. That sounds great. I'm definitely grabbing that. Or like Culling Strike. Culling Strike is pretty cool, but like, honestly, if I wasn't using it, I wouldn't really feel that bad. The explode thing, which was probably what I thought I would need the least, is the thing that feels the most impactful.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I feel like I haven't looked at a lot of the other ascendancies, but it is so strange that they've gone so heavily on this downside upside thing in places that they shouldn't do it. Like notables. Why are there so many notables that are like, you lose attack speed, but you hit harder? I get like thematically it makes sense, but it's not fun or exciting, and it makes you feel like sluggish. Keep it for uniques. Keep it for keystones. Have the downsides be like big downsides and build around them. Not like you attack slightly slower, but you hit slightly harder. That's not interesting. Have it like you have no life, but you're immune to chaos. That's cool. It's like huge upside and then huge downside, and then build a character around it. Go for it. So
with notables, it's interesting that they do have those downsides. I wonder if it's a way for them, because lots of people are going to take notables, not everybody will take keystones, so maybe rein in player power in a way. But still, I think you're right. If you, when you're picking stuff up that's really basic and integral to a build, doesn't always need to be associated with a downside. Maybe just don't make the upside as powerful and instead just get rid of the downside. Maybe. Because especially in an ascendancy, man, I don't, that sucks that there's a downside, you know?
POE 1 ascendancies,
yeah.
Often it's like, oh man, I want all of this stuff. I want all of these things. Like Deadeye, skills chain plus 1x and they ricochet off terrain, plus 2 projectiles. Far shot, they gain damage as they travel further. And then you got like double Mirage Archer, you've got Frenzy Charge, you've got Tailwind. Like all of these are, man, 75% increased effect of mark, of your marks. Or like, what's like another good PoE1 ascendancy? Nearby enemies have minus Cold Res, minus Chaos Res, and 100% reduced life regeneration rate. Like the power is obvious there. 60% to Chaos Res, 15% more Chaos damage, inflict withered. This is like one notable. The other one, cannot be chilled, cannot be frozen, 50% more cold damage. Every 4 seconds, freeze enemies. It's just like Profane Bloom. Enemies explode. There's like all this cool shit, and there's, and none of it is like, I don't know. You explode enemies, but you only deal half as much damage. Like, nope. That just immediately makes it like something like Ancestral Bond is such a perfect thing. You can't deal damage with your skills yourself, plus one maximum number of summon totems. It's so obvious what that is for.
Right.
It's like, I am all in on totems. I'm going to do it. Cool. I'm into that. But these little, just lame downsides, man. I want downsides to be build defining. Like,
well, that's curious, Local Hold.
Yeah,
you have been working with Mobalytics for quite some time and obviously making builds on your YouTube channel for even longer, much longer in PoE2. Do you feel that all these different pieces that you're now having to slot together, I know we're only 1 week in, so it doesn't have to be a developed answer, but do you feel that all these different styled puzzle pieces you have to slot together are making it much more difficult to, for example, write a build guide or explain builds to people? Or do you think the tools are there for it to be simple but deep compared to PoE1?
Writing guides has actually been really nice because there aren't tools like POB and the game hasn't been optimized to death where every decision can be scrutinized on a numerical level where... Right. Oh, I can't believe he, look at this guy's build. He took this. Like, he should have gone here. He could have got, like, 4% more damage. What an idiot. Like, there's none of that. So it's actually just, like, I'm having fun making guides because I'm doing what is working for me.
Yeah.
And it's satisfying. But it is weird writing in my guide. I don't know which ascendancy to take because they kind of all look bad and I wish I had gone Gemling Legion instead.
Oh man, see, and that's really not what I want to hear. That really sucks. Once again,
it does.
Bubble. Is it, I know you said you haven't worked with a lot of other ascendancies yet, but do you know if this is a sentiment that is kind of the same across
non-monk
player? You don't know, so it might just be like a monk thing.
I'm not worried about this because, again, it comes down to, like, balance. And, you know, if enough people talk about it, and I could completely see all of this changing in a year when on full release. Mm. As long as people are talking about it. So it's not worrying to me as long as it does not stay like that.
Yeah, yeah. Which it won't. The game is fluid, you know.
It is.
The fundamentals, like you said at the very beginning of the pod, are there. There's a bunch of numerical shifts and just simple design shifts that should be made, and a lot of people are giving that feedback, or should be made in the eyes of many, right? So best thing we can do is make our voices heard, just like we want to make our voices heard on the final topic today, Local Hole, and that is the Trial of Chaos, man.
Whoa.
Okay, lay it on me. Like, what are these mods coming straight from PoE1? Always critting, you know, at 50% extra chaos damage.
Crazy, man.
Whoa. What is this?
Again, just like the balance on that is nuts. I tried to do one a couple of days ago, just out of interest, not because, you know, I actually wanted to ascend. But I got, there's those like physical damage rings slowly grow on the battlefield, and
don't do those. Know,
and then they explode when you do max damage, when they reach full size. And I was like, ah, I can probably dodge that. And I won't do that much damage if it does hit me. Like on the third trial, like the tip of one touched me and just instantly killed me. I was like, this is bullshit, man.
Just the tip, man. Oh my God.
That's not fair. Like, come on. It just touched me. And the problem was, it wasn't just that. And this is on the third trial. It's like, now there are expanding rings on the ground that one shot you. There's also like a floating vacuum cleaner that is like shooting lightning bolts at you. And there's like towers that are shooting laser beams at you. And like, I have to do another 7 of these to get my ascendancy. It's kind of chaotic. I'll try it again. It was fun, but it was, the balance was so busted. It was just not right.
I agree. I think the thematics of both Sekima and Chaos are excellent. Okay.
Yes.
I love the design of the arenas and the differing rooms and how you enter them. Like, I like that it's a little bit slow paced and you kind of build up to each encounter for a second, because this is, like we talked about, a fundamentally different system in PoE. It's not your Atlas. It's not your campaign. It is something distinct, and you feel that when you are in these places. But the balance and the mods, I swear, they need a few adjustments.
Ooh. Yep.
They reported from PoE 1. You can look. A lot of them are literally what they were in PoE 1, and it's like, well, I don't know if this works in PoE 2. Like, one of the funniest things, dude, I don't know if you noticed, but the lore for the expedition guys has changed for PoE 2, but the strange voice calls you God Slayer in PoE 2, and I was like, yeah, I feel like they forgot to change the voice lines or something, you know?
We're not that guy. We're not that exile.
No.
Or are we? We haven't finished the campaign.
Okay. Thoughts on this? Did you read the dialogue and everything, or no? Or listen to it?
The first playthrough, I listened to just like all the main dialogue. I didn't listen to the optional dialogue.
Okay,
I'm not a big lore guy.
Okay, yeah, spoiler for everybody in the chat. We're going to give you guys 10 seconds, okay? But we're going to talk about the end game really quickly here. Well, a few seconds. We'll just give them a second, you know, before we talk about it, you know? Okay. All right.
Zana's back. Oh.
Zana's back. Wow. No, just kidding. They could totally read our lips when we said her name. Oh, dang it. What do you think about this? What is going on? We're like, the end game is going to be in the past. Do you think that's going to change once the final three acts come out, or what the hell?
I have no idea. I am the wrong person to talk about this. It seems cool, but I don't know. I think for people who are lore buffs, they were really excited because they're like, oh man, this is like the second cataclysm, and like Doriani, he's like taking us to the pass, but I'm just like, okay, when do I get to kill this stuff again? I would be remiss.
It's the first cataclysm. It's the Val cataclysm, not the second. The second one was caused by Malachi.
Well,
I'm gonna be a snob.
There you go. Yeah, but I mean, like, for people like you, oh, awesome, man! I'm sure there's tons of cool stuff, and I look forward to your videos and Kid and Kat. She's gonna make excellent videos, and I will enjoy them. But right now, I don't know, man. I'm too busy killing stuff.
Well, is exactly, dude, what we're all doing in Path of Exile 2. Not right now, but in a few minutes, because I think we've been talking for long enough. Local Hall, dude, we went freaking 20 minutes over, longest pod yet. It flew
really?
By. Yes.
We have to talk about so much more.
I know.
We'll do a follow up. We'll do a follow up.
Okay. So, yeah, that's my plan. I'm planning to do another one of these rounds the first time the game is actually updated with content, you know, when the druid hits.
Yes.
Druid, baby. That's going to be fun. We'll have to do a round 2, man. I'm so happy we were finally able to sit down and chat, because people in the chat probably don't know, or watching the VOD don't know. Localhall and I like message back with each other almost daily at this point. So it's always really nice chatting with you in DMs, dude. Even better to sit here and chat face to face. It's been a lovely time, man.
Yeah, it's been awesome. And let me just say, even though there was some negativity in this podcast, overall, I'm loving the game. I'm having so much fun. I cannot wait to re-roll and play more. every day forever. So yeah, thank you. Let me know when you want to do it again, and I'm super, super, super keen.
100%, man. It's been a pleasure. Yeah, I'm obviously Mr. Hype Man. I'm still loving the game, even though I have critiques, especially of the end game now, and really seeing, as I think NeverSync laid out the best Twitter thread as per usual on the end game critiques. I'm really seeing them as I've played more and more. Everybody, yep, right now in the live chat watching the VOD, make sure you go over to Localhole's YouTube channel or his Twitch channel. He is, as he said, a full-time Path of Exile 2 and 1 content creator at this point. Additionally, he works with Mobalytics, and if you visit his pages, his guide pages, his build pages, that really helps out Localhole. So go check him out. They're very well put together. Thanks, Localhole, for being on here, and thanks, everybody, for watching. Hit the like button if you haven't already on YouTube, or subscribe as well. I can't believe you watched an hour and a half long video without doing either. Just do them right now. It really helps out. All right, man. We'll chat later, dude, okay?
All right. Take care. Thank you so much for having me. Talk again soon.
All right.